Good morning. For those that don't know me, my name is Brother Daryl Johnson. I'm from Dallas, Texas, and I'm glad to be here in Monarch. I feel like the Lord has something for me to leave with you today. I didn't know, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to come back, but the Lord made a way for me to be able to be here. So I realized one of the most important things that we do is we have the Holy Ghost is what leads us. And if he's not here, we don't need to be here either. So I desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. The Lord brought to my mind about how he has a plan for every one of our lives. We often talk about the plan of salvation and what that entails and what it means. But the Lord has a complete plan for everything that he does, and everything that happens to us is part of God's plan. When you take into consideration, you look in this building, there's people that hear, some people I don't know. But one of the things that the Lord's brought to my mind in many settings and situations like this, that every person that is sitting next to you, every person in this building or in this tabernacle, is superior to you in some kind of way. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what you think about them. Doesn't matter what they think about themselves. And every person is inferior in some way. And so that's all part of God's plan. So God has, there are some people that can do things much better than I am. I can. And there are things that perhaps I can do better than other people. But God has a plan that he puts all of us together, and we all work together toward the plan of God. And that happens in the church as well. He puts members in the body as it pleases him. And he has a purpose for each member being in the body and the place that they're in. The Lord has a purpose for that. I want to go first of all to pray for us that the Lord would give us, we'd make it plain, and we'd be able to share with you what the Lord has for us to share. I want to go to Genesis 1 and 1, very familiar text of scripture. I want to read that. If someone can read for us, I'd appreciate it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
And God said,
let there be light.
And there was light. And God saw the light.
God saw the light, that it was good.
And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. The darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Now, we've all learned about the creation and what we've learned in our textbooks at school, that there's this thing called the theory of evolution. All of us know what that is, don't we? And in my mind, the theory of evolution is one of the most foolish theories known to mankind. And one of the things that happens is that the devil is going to do everything that he can to attack the church, attack God. And so what he brings to our minds is something that's completely different. This big bang happened, and then all of a sudden, everything out of chaos came order. But what we see here is God had a plan. And if you've ever drawn a picture, if you've ever had drawn a picture or done anything artistic, the first thing that you have is something in your mind, an outline in your mind as to what you want it to be once it's finished. And so before God ever created the world, he had it in his mind what it was going to be. When he spoke it into existence, and most of us, when we talk, when we say things, we think about what we say, don't we? We don't just blurt things out, generally speaking. Sometimes we're in situations like that, and we do. But for the most part, we think about what we're going to say, and we know what we're going to say, and we know to some degree how it's going to affect those that are listening to it. So God, in the same way, if we have that much ability and that much understanding, God, in the same way, has that much ability and understanding as well. He thought in his mind what the plan would be. He knew what it was going to be, the great plan of salvation, that he was going to make a plan that mankind were to live forever. So he began to make the infrastructure. He created the world. He spoke it into existence. And it was void. There was nothing there. But he spoke it into existence. And as he spoke it into existence, he created what we know as time. He created what we know and what we understand as space out of nothing. Out of just the words that he spoke. But what we have to clearly understand is that he had this concept in his mind before he ever spoke the words. And so in the same way, the reason that this is important is because everything that we do is based on that.
So when we say that there is some theory of evolution that comes against the very thing that God has created, when we say that, what they're saying is when you've gone down into the creation story, what we find out is God said, and it was good. All right? But what we have when we talk about the theory of evolution is something altogether different. We have something that is not planned, something that is just chaotic, and something that is not good. So what that does, and this is why it's important for us to understand it, what that does is goes against the very thing that God created. And if we accept those kinds of thoughts and those kinds of theories and things that the world has presented to us, then that gives us some question in our mind as to whether or not it really was good, as to whether what the Lord did. Some of us have our lives like the a theory of evolution. We don't think very much about what we do. It's very chaotic. But I want to say that if God has a plan for your life, and if you'll allow the Lord to work in your life, God has a plan for everything that's going forward in your life. Let's go a little farther here. Pray for us that the Lord will be able to give us exactly what we need to say. All right, let's go to the 12th, drop down to the 12th verse of the same chapter, please.
Earth brought forth grass. And herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself.
Yes.
After his kind. God saw that it was good.
God saw it was good.
And the evening and the morning were the first day.
So God, what we want to say is God has a master plan for everything that he does. God has a master plan for your life. And I want us to understand that. I want us to see that. And I want us to understand that the Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord knows what he's doing in your life. The Lord knows what he's doing in my life. All right, let's go to, I want to read a little bit in Genesis, the 37th chapter. I want to go there and read about Joseph a little bit. Joseph, Genesis 37, verse 1.
And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan.
All right.
These are the generations of Jacob.
Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren.
And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children.
Because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren,
they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him.
Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more.
Now, you know, most of us have dysfunction in our families, right? Now, when we come to Monarchs, things seem to be like in order, and things seem to be good, and we don't really bring that dysfunction into a public setting. But it may not be in your immediate family, I mean, under your roof, but there is generally something that's happening in our families, and there's a lot of drama in most families, right? Am I the only family that has drama? Most of us have situations and settings that there's drama there. Well, here's one. One of the things that we've got to be very careful of as parents, that we don't show forth love more to one individual, one child, than we do to another one. And this is what happened in Joseph's situation. The brothers clearly understood that daddy had a favorite. And because daddy had a favorite, it caused problems in that family. But I want you to understand that God had a plan in all of that. Even in the dysfunction in your family and the situations that are going on, the things that are not the way that they should be as far as you're concerned, the things that you would change and make better in your life, God has a plan for it. And so here his brothers hated him because of what his father did. This is what we want to understand. The scripture says very plainly, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to God's purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. It didn't say all the good things work together for good, but it says all things. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what your family situation is. It doesn't matter what you were grown up, how you grew up. A lot of us, in most instances, we wish we had grown up in a different environment or whatever it may be. We wish there were some different things about our environment, about the way that we grew up. But God had a plan in that. And we need to understand that God had a plan in how you were raised, in the environment that you were raised, that God knew what your parents would be like and what your surroundings would be like and what everything that you would have to ever face would be like. He knew your personality. He knew the issues in your personality. He knew that there were things in your personality that God wished that you could change. There are some innocence. There are some things about us that we wish we could change, don't we? All of us. And we realize and understand that it's going to take God for us to be able to change those things about ourselves. We can't change them. God has to change them. That's what the plan of salvation is all about. The plan of salvation is that I understand that there are things about me that I cannot change. I understand I'm using myself in a general sense. We understand that there are things about us. I can't stop sinning unless God does it for me. I cannot live a holy life unless God through me lives a holy life. All right, so what I have to understand is that I have to yield. And so there's this plan that was in the mind of God that as we yield to him, he takes over our lives and he lives through us. That was from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. The Lord knew that today was going to happen like this. He knew I was going to stand up. He knew I was going to preach about the great plan of salvation, what it means to us, what it means individually, what it means collectively, what it means to the world. It's important for us, isn't it? And so God knew everything. He knows everything that there is to know about you. He knows the things that you don't like. He knows the things that you do like. The things that you feel are your infirmities. God has an understanding. But what I believe the Lord wants us to understand today is that God wants to use those things. He wants to use those things about us, those things in our lives. He wants us to yield ourselves more perfectly to his will, and as we yield ourselves to his will, then he uses those things in our environment, those elements that are working against us, he uses them for the good, not only our good, but for the good of others. There are some things that we go through that we're not just going through them for ourselves. There are some issues that we have and some problems that we go through that we realize at some point in the future I'm going to have to address this with someone else. Maybe I didn't know it at the time, but I've gone through a trial time and time again, and then someone else is going through the very same thing, and I'm able to tell them how the Lord helped me through it. So we are in those kinds of places. But God has a plan where all of these things work together. They work together, all right? All right, so we say here, and now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and made a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and spake and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. Read that, please.
And 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more.
They hated him the more. So he dreamed a dream. It was a very innocent thing. 17-year-old boy, he's just telling his brothers a particular dream that he had. Now, most of us don't have, we don't have control over the dreams that we have, do we? I can't control the dream. Sometimes we wish we have nightmares, and there are things about it. I can't say, listen, tonight I want to dream about a particular thing. It doesn't happen that way. Either we have dreams, God gives us those dreams, right? All right, continue, please.
And he said unto them, Here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaves arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about. And made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us?
Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?
And they hated him yet the more.
Do you see how their hatred for their brother is building up? Now, I don't know. It's not really something that should happen in a family setting. I know that these were not full-blood siblings and whatnot, but still, they had their father's blood in them. And it doesn't matter. But I've seen people get angry and upset at people, at their siblings, and they don't talk to them for years. If you're going to act like that, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And they don't talk to him. So here is a situation with Joseph and his brothers. They're in this. He tells a simple, innocent dream, and he's saying that you guys were bowing down to me, and my sheep rose up, and you guys were bowing down to me, and they hated him even more than they did before. All right, read. He dreamed yet another dream, told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more.
And behold, the sun and the moon,
the sun and the moon, 11 stars
made obeisance to me.
Yes.
And he told it to his father and
his father rebuked him
and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed?
Shall I and my mother and my brethren indeed come to bow down to thee, to ourselves, to the earth?
And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the same.
All right. So here is a plan that I want us to get a hold of. This young man is 17 years old. The Lord gives him a dream. In his mind, there is something that's going to happen. The sun and the moon, everybody bows down to him. His brothers bow down to him. And he knew to some degree what that meant. But he knew that it was his brethren, but he didn't know exactly what it meant. So what I want to say is, before this is 30-something years later before this happens, or pretty close to that, 30 years later before it ever happens. 13 years later anyway. I'm not sure exactly the time, but it's a certain period of time. Don't quote me on that, but here's what I want to say. God put his plan in the mind of Joseph before it ever happened. So this tells us and gives us clear understanding that God is in control of everything. And even the dysfunction in the family worked together for the good of what God wanted to accomplish in Joseph's life. And it wasn't just for Joseph, it was for everybody around, it was for all of Egypt, it was for everybody. So there are going to be things in your life, in my life, that happen that are bad. I cannot explain to you why those bad things happen. I wish they didn't, but I can tell you that if you love the Lord, the Lord will turn those things and make them for your good, and not only for your good, but for the good of those that are around you. The Lord is not just doing something just to be doing it. He has a plan, a full plan in his mind as to what he wants to do and to how to get it done. All right? All right, let's go a little farther here. Let's drop down because we know the story here. Let's drop down to the 18th verse, please.
And when they saw him afar off.
When they saw him afar off,
even before he came near unto them,
they conspired against him to slay him.
And they said one to another,
Behold, this dreamer cometh.
Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit.
And we will say some evil beast has devoured him.
And we shall see what shall become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of his hands. And said, let us not kill him.
Yes, let us not kill him.
And Reuben said unto them,
Shed no blood.
But cast him into this pit.
That is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. So his brothers actually wanted to kill him. So we know the story of Joseph. What happens is he was sold into Potiphar's house. He went to work into Potiphar's house. While he was there in that setting, something else happened. Do you know one of the things that happened is Potiphar's wife wanted him to have a relationship with her, and he wouldn't do it. And so she got him right alone. She grabbed his coat, took his coat. He left his coat and he ran, right? We know the story. I won't belabor the point by telling the story. And so she was upset at this. And so when Potiphar comes back, she explains to him that Joseph, she actually lies. And she has evidence. Do you know that there are some times that we can deem someone guilty by circumstantial evidence? Do you know we should give people the benefit of the doubt? Do you know that when we're in situations like this, that there are going to be some times that, yeah, it looks like that person is guilty, but that person may not be guilty like you think they are. Because, Brother Darrell, look here, we've got the coat. I know what a man is like. This is Potiphar. Potiphar knows how men think. He's a man himself. His wife is beautiful. That's why he married her. But he realized that, and what is a man going to do? He's going to take the word of his wife over the word of another man. Right? And we sometimes, and this is why what I want us to understand, the Lord can use that, but we sometimes condemn people with the evidence that we have in our hands, and we can see it, and we've got to be very careful about that, don't we? We've got to be very careful about whether or not we're going to condemn a person because of the evidence that they have. One of the things that we need an eyewitness. We need somebody We need somebody more than just circumstantial evidence if we're going to do it. This is why we pray. This is why we seek the Lord. This is why we know what the Lord's plan and what the Lord's desire is for that individual regarding whatever it is that we're praying about. I have been in situations where people have wanted me to condemn someone. And I can't condemn that person simply on the evidence that I see. So may the Lord help us to realize that there's something that God wants us to do. There's something that God wants us to understand that we need to get it from the Lord. The Lord can see all of the little bitty nuances in the situation. And so here is this man, yet again, he is thrown into a dungeon, not because of something that he did. Now we see all of these bad things that are happening to Joseph, but the Lord has a plan in Joseph's life. And the Lord showed Joseph this plan when he was 17 years old. There are some of us here that the Lord has shown a plan in his mind of what he wants us to do, what he wants us to do in his kingdom. He showed it to us a long time ago. I was 19 years old when I knew that I was going to be a minister of the gospel. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. It wasn't something that I chose to do. I wanted to do something completely different. But I realized and I understood that God wanted somebody to be willing to give themselves. And you know what? I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't really want to. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord gives you the desire and you submit yourself to the Lord. And you say, Lord, not as I will, but let thy will be done. The Lord had a plan for my life. The Lord has a plan for your life. Not everybody in here is going to be a preacher. Not everybody needs to be a preacher. Not everybody has the gift to be a preacher. May the Lord help us to understand that whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, if you want to preach and God has something else for you to do, let me tell you, you're better off doing whatever God has for you to do. You're better off doing the plan of the Lord. I've seen people run into a particular position that they want, but they can't handle the position. There's a whole lot more that comes with preaching the gospel message than just standing before people and speaking some words, and because you have a nice speaking voice, you're able to do it. No, that's not what it is. You've got to get it from the Lord first. The only good preacher that I know is the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't matter who he uses. He can use whoever. He can use a child. He can use an old woman, an old man. He can use whoever he wants to. But the only one that can really go to the hearts and lives of people and minister to the lives of the people is the Holy Ghost. May the Lord help us. That's why we need him so desperately. All right? All right, let's go to the 40th chapter of Genesis. And let's read starting, I'll just mention that maybe. Let's go to the 45th chapter of Genesis. And let's start reading at the first verse. We know the situation. I'll just kind of mention that. The situation with Joseph was, and when Joseph went to the prison, I believe he was in the prison for several years based on something that he didn't do. So there are going to be some times that the Lord puts us in a prison, that there are things that we cannot do, things that we want to do, but we cannot do simply because we are bound. And the Lord is not allowing us. So the Lord had a purpose for Joseph being in that prison. And the things that Joseph learned and what we find out and whatever your circumstances are, whatever prison the Lord allows you to be in, and whatever the circumstances are that you're in, then make the best of those circumstances. And sometimes what we do, we tend to be concerned about whatever I'm going through. I'm more concerned about getting out of it than I am to making the best of it while I'm in it. And I think all of us have been in those kinds of places, haven't we? We've been in places where we realize that, Lord, I wish I could get out of this situation, but the Lord is saying, I'm not letting you out of this situation right now. There's something that I want you to do. There is a lesson that I want you to learn in the midst of it. So some of the things that we have to deal with, the Lord wants us to learn a lesson in it. And until we learn that lesson, the Lord's not going to let us out of it. So this we feel like it's a prison, but the Lord says, this is not a prison. This is a classroom, so to speak. This is a place for me to teach you the things that are going to be necessary for you to deal with on down the road. So this is what he did with Joseph. All right, so Joseph had, there were the baker and the butler had dreams, and Joseph was able to interpret that dream. And so when Joseph interpreted the dream for the baker and the butler, the Lord had a plan in that. Do you see how all of these things work together? You know, one of the things that we do, one of the most of all of us have dealt with the GPS, right? Right? We've gotten from point A to point B with the GPS. The GPS is not always accurate. Had you ever noticed that? It'll take you in a roundabout way, and they'll take you to the wrong place sometimes. And you remember how when we used to have the big maps and we'd take out the atlases and we'd try to figure out how to get to Monarch from wherever we were? And you know, there was something beneficial about those big maps. And what was beneficial is we saw how everything connected, every road connected to the other. And so we can actually look at it and we can determine which is the fastest route for us to get there. Now what we do, what we tend to do is we tend to say, now with the GPS, just put in the address and hit go, and it takes us there, and we're just following without even understanding where we're going. And we're trusting it. Now, in one way, the Lord is like that. The Lord has God's positioning system, right? And the Lord has a way to get us there, and we don't always see the overview of everything, how everything connects. And sometimes that's what discourages us, because we don't understand how it connects together, how it comes together. But God does. He sees a bird's eye view of what's going on in your life and how that's relating to what's going on in my life. Now, it may seem, I'm in Dallas, Texas, all of you are from various other places, but the Lord saw that how we would all converge right here in this place, and how we would have a response one to the other, and how we would encourage one another right here in this place. So we're going to take this, and whatever we heard from the messages, from the singing, from the testimonies, from the prayers, from the times that we have one with another, just a fellowship, we're going to take that back home, and it's going to all be a part of God's plan for our lives individually and collectively. There's going to be a takeaway that each one of us has from this meeting. It may not be the same thing. It may not be that you get very much out of this message or that message or something else, but you got something that the Lord wanted you to get, and you can take that home and you can utilize it and you can use it for the good of your good as well as the good of those that are around you. All right? All right, let's go to the... Here is the situation. We know about the butler, that Pharaoh has a dream and no one can interpret it. And then... Let's go to the 40. Let's do the 40th chapter, 8th verse, before we go to 45.
And they said unto him.
Well, let's do the 7th verse. And he asked Pharaoh's officer. Yes.
And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today?
Yes.
And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream.
We have dreamed a dream.
And there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God. Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. Said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine.
Okay, that's good enough. So they began to tell the dream. Now, the reason I think this is very important for us to get a hold of is because this is what it seems like a very... If we're just living this life, if we're in real time here, it doesn't seem like it's very much. We see the backstory. We see what happens next. But let's just say we were in real time and we're just listening, and here's a dream that they are having, and they don't know what the dream means and they're sad about it. And then the Lord knows that Joseph is there, and Joseph is right at the right place at the right time. And so I believe one of the prayers that was prayed earlier was that, Lord, help us to know who to minister to, who to speak to, who to say something to. And it seems like it's unimportant. It seems like it's not a very necessary thing for us to say, but God knows why we're saying it. And so here he tells him the dream. Joseph tells him the dream. Now what that man has to do is go and back to Potiphar. And the Lord has a purpose in all of that. Do you realize that the Lord has a purpose in everything that happens in our lives? Everything. A flat tire on the side of the road. Our car running out of gas. Now, we might say in our own mind, well, if I'd have been a little bit more diligent, those things wouldn't have happened. And that's absolutely true. But the Lord knew what's going to happen, and the Lord has a purpose in it. So what I want us to do when we go home, I believe the Lord wants us to understand that all these things, no matter what they are part of a great master plan that God has for our lives individually and collectively. All right? All right? Let's go to the 45th. Chapter 4, and start reading the first verse, please.
Joseph could not refrain himself before
all right, this is Joseph and his brethren
that stood by him.
Yes.
And he cried.
He cried.
Cause every man to go out from me.
Cause every man to go out from me. And now, here's the situation. For those that know, here's the situation. His brothers have come. There's a famine in the land. Joseph is now in second in command to in the whole nation. Do you see where God took him from the dungeon to the throne? And oftentimes we'll say in our own minds, well, Lord, there should have been an easier way. There should have been a shortcut for me getting from my father's house to the throne. But that was the only way. That was God's way. And when we understand that that's God's way, then we can submit more willingly to what God has for us. May the Lord help us. Lord, help me. Help us all to submit to your will, the things that happen, the dysfunction in your family, the problems that are happening in your life. God wants to use them, the disappointments that you have. The Lord wants to use those disappointments for his glory and for your good and for the good of the church. Not just for the good of the church, but for the good of the entire nation. May the Lord help us. We are responsible for praying about what happens in the world. And as we pray about what happens in the world, the Lord moves things into place. He moves situations and He changes situations and circumstances to the point that we can understand, Lord, you are in control of everything. You're in control of this rain. We prayed about it, didn't we? And here we are sitting in Monarch in the latter part of July, needing sweaters. Why do you suppose that happened? So it was lucky. Oh, we had a lucky break. We got rain. No, it wasn't luck. It was that the sisters and brothers and the different ones started praying and the Lord did something about it. Now, who's benefiting from this? Oh, we're benefiting from it because we're setting an open tabernacle. But guess who else is benefiting? All the farmers. I heard someone say the other day, thank the Lord. The farmers are thanking the Lord for the rain as well. The cattle are thanking the Lord for the rain. The farmers, the grass, everything, and everybody in this general area. I heard someone say this morning, as we were shaving, someone was saying, you know, we were going into a drought into June. I don't know about your drought here, but in Texas, it was getting pretty hot and pretty dry. But the Lord sent rain. Why? Because the saints of God prayed, and that was part of God's plan. So God moves circumstances. Saints, don't think that you do not have power with God. You have power with the Lord. So the Lord has a purpose in everything that he allows to happen, including this rain. And not only that, but it's not just for you. Sometimes we look at it so selfishly. We look at it from the standpoint of what's it benefiting me? It's not just about you. What was it benefiting Joseph in that dungeon? What was it benefiting that his brother did what they did? Joseph learned from the things that God allowed him to go through. Joseph learned from those circumstances, those situations. And Joseph allowed the Lord to work with him and to mature him and to change him and make him who God wanted him to be, not who he was. He was a little bit flippant. He was a little bit immature at age 17. He didn't just think about what the dream was. He went and told his brothers. And his father rebuked him for it. But what I want us to understand here is that God gave him a vision, a plan. The architects, an architect, whoever built this structure, whoever drew the structure, drew it from their imagination, right? They drew it from the original structure. They drew it from a thought process in their minds. And so they sketched it out on a piece of paper, and then whoever did it was able to build it, right? It's the same thing. Our job is to let God sketch out our lives. And then we follow it. Verbatim. Because sometimes we want to do what we want to do. Most of the times we want to do what we want to do. And what the Lord wants us to understand, I believe, is that he has a better way. And if we can understand that he has a better way, then we're not kicking against what God is doing in our lives, what he's allowing to happen in our lives. No one wants bad things to happen. No one wants that. But what I want us to understand is the Lord knows what he's doing. He is in control. All right, let's read a little bit. Continue to read. Start at the 45th.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him.
All them that stood by.
And he cried.
He cried.
Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud.
And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph.
I am Joseph.
Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. For they were troubled at his presence.
Now think about all of this that happened. Here the brothers had hated him. And when he told them about his dream, they hated him even more. And then they not only did they hate him, but they were going to kill him. They hated him to the point that they allowed this bitterness to get to the point that they were going to literally kill their brother. Joseph knew all of this. He heard it. And one of them said, no, let's not do that. Let's throw him in a pit. And they threw him in a pit. These are brothers. And they are conspiring against Joseph, threw him in a pit. And then one of them said, well, Reuben says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. And so all of this, Joseph is processing. Now, let me tell you, any one of us, without the Lord's help, would have been bitter in our brother. We couldn't say, you know, some people have done a lot less to us, and we have to battle bitterness. Not any of you had to battle bitterness before? Of course we have. All of us have. Well, if you're not going to speak to me, I'm not going to speak to you either. Two can play that game. Have you ever said those kinds of things? If you withdraw from me, I withdraw from you. But Joseph, there was something about the way God dealt with, God worked with Joseph, that Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph let God work from the inside out. Because God had a plan. And because of God's plan, now here are these brethren that are sitting. They don't know this man. This is somebody that they did a long time, that they saw a long time ago when he was 17 years old. 17 and 30, you change a whole lot, don't you? I look at some of these children, and they walk up to me, and I don't know. You know, I remember you when you were little. But now you've gotten grown, and you look a little bit different, and there are some features that have changed and whatnot. And I don't know who you are. You know who I am. I don't know who you are all the time. All right, so here is Joseph. Read, please.
And Joseph said unto his brethren,
come near to me, I pray you.
And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph,
your brother,
whom you sold into Egypt.
Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves,
that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life.
So what is he saying? He said, you sold me, but God sent me here. The things that have happened in my life were not just you doing it. You were just an instrument of God. So the Lord allowed these things to happen in their life for them to do these particular things so that God can preserve life. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's think about the plan of salvation. One of the scriptures that was read yesterday, it was talking about the glory of the Lord before the world was. That Christ and God, that Jesus and God, shared a glory before the world ever existed from the foundation of the world. So God, when we talk about God creating space and time and God creating the infrastructure for which we are still a part of, we stand on what God created. When we take all of that into consideration and what God did, God knew that mankind was going to need a Savior. So he made the great plan of salvation. It wasn't just something that he threw together. It was something that he thought about. It was something that he did where Christ would have to suffer. Now, one of the things that I don't quite understand is why Christ had to suffer. Christ suffered the way that he suffered for you and for me. There had to be a penalty paid for our sins, for the sins that you committed, the sins that I committed. And the Lord said, all right, there's going to be a penalty. God is a just God. He's just to everybody. He's just to the devil. He goes by his laws. And if the law says it, and the devil can lay claim on something that belongs to him. If I'm hoarding hatred or bitterness in my heart, the devil can lay claim to it. It's his. It belongs to him. And as a result of that, If I am hoarding this bitterness and this hatred in my heart, and the devil comes after me, then the Lord's going to let him have me unless mercy steps in. We should have been destroyed. We're the ones that should have been on the cross. Because we're the ones that did it, but the Lord Jesus Christ, through the plan of salvation, what does it say? A lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this was the plan that the Lord did. Remember when Adam and Eve came and they had partaken of the fruit and they came and they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together. Do you know that there are going to be some times that we do things that we're going to try to hide our shame and we can't hide it? There's nothing that we can do, but God could. So you know what the Lord did? He said he slew an animal because he said it made coats of skin. And I believe that was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That was a type of Jesus that was slain at the very start to cover our sins. The blood, the coating, to be clothed with humility, to be clothed with whatever it is that we need to be clothed with. The Lord knew it at the very beginning. He had a plan. And so he said that this plan has to be that I've got to be just, not only to the world in general, but I've got to be just. If this is what my law says, that this stuff belongs, this hatred, this murder, this emulation, all these things, if they belong to the devil, then I have the devil has a right to claim them. And if those individuals that I created are partaking of those things, then the devil has a right to claim them. So Jesus said, I'll take their place. Lord said, I've got a plan. I'll take their place. And the Lord took our place. And the very things that we should have suffered, the Lord suffered for us. That was the plan. The very things. So the devil, I don't know what kind of conversations went on, but in my mind, the enemy said, you know what, this is what's going to happen. The person that does this, I'm going to destroy them. There has to be some consequences for their action. And the Lord said, I'll take those consequences. So he hung on a cross. And he was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. And we don't understand the full weight of what happened and why it happens. But one thing I do know, because he hung on that cross, it enables me to live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world. I can be around all kind of folks that sin, and I don't have to do it by the help and the grace of God. I don't have to do it. Why? Because of the plan of salvation. It wasn't just something that he threw together. It was something that God knew. That God said the plan of salvation is a great plan, and it'll cover everyone's sin if we'll allow it to. So what he says to us, embrace it. You know, if you decide that you're going to, you know, and some of us do this with our lives individually, we know that we should be saved. And I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. In my younger years, I knew what I wanted to be, and it wasn't going to be a preacher. It had nothing to do with this. But the Lord knew what he wanted. And there had to be a submission to the will of God in my life. There had to be a submission to the will of God. I didn't have to do it. And one of the things that I had determined in my mind, I'm going to live saved, but I'm not going to live saved like these folks do. Oh, so most people don't think that preachers think that kind of thing. I wasn't a preacher at the time. I knew that I probably would have been, but maybe in high school I thought, you know what, they're just a little too strict. Have you ever felt that way? Anybody here ever felt that way? The saints are just a little too strict. You ain't got to do all that to be saved. And that was the mindset. But you know, you realize, and so I remember saying in my mind that there, okay, Lord, the Lord dealt with me in my first year of college. The Lord dealt with me, and I felt condemned. I felt bad. And nobody knew about it. Nobody knew that my mind was to go in a different direction. I was going to do something altogether different. I was going to join a Baptist church or some other kind of church. And let me tell you, the reason I think it's important for us to understand this and know, because I saw all of my friends that were doing it, and they were good Christians, but they were sinning more or less every day. And that kind of appealed to me in some kind of a way back then. And so I wanted to be a Christian too, but I wanted to go in because some of the things that I wanted to accomplish in my life, this was going to hinder me. If I did this, if I was going to be a preacher, it was going to be a hindrance to me, so I'm going to be a different kind of Christian. So yes, we have those kind of thoughts. Us preachers have those kinds of thoughts as well. And so I went all the way back, and the Lord began to deal with me. I remember being in my dorm room the first year of college, and the Lord said, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. He said, the direction that you're going is not going to get you where you think it's going to get you. And so I began to cry. It was just me. Nobody knew this. My parents didn't know. My siblings didn't know. The preachers didn't know. No one knew it. It was just in my heart that I was going to be a different kind of man. I was not going to live this kind of a life the way that the saints have lived it. I was going to live something a little bit more reasonable. You understand what I'm saying? And then the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, all right. Then I said, Lord, there are some things. I know some of you have probably heard the story before, but I feel like the Lord wants us to say it because the Lord always has a plan. I could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. When the Lord dealt with my heart and he began to talk to me, I could have said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go my own direction, and I'm going to do my own life. And let me tell you, there are folks sitting right here. I don't know who you are, but there are folks sitting right here that decided to do it, and you tore your life up, didn't you? You have a horrible life simply because you went your way. But let me tell you, there's hope in Christ. The Lord uses those things. The Lord uses all of you doing your thing and going your way. The Lord uses that to mold you. You remember about he goes down to the potter's house and he said he was making a vessel on the wheel and it marred in the potter's hand. And the Lord says, all right, I'll make another one. There is hope. I want you to know it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how you've messed up your life. God still has a plan for you. God can still take that and put it back together and mold it and make you even greater than what you ever would have been. But you've got to let him. You've got to release it. You've got to be like the clay that you yield yourself to the Lord and yield yourself to his plan. So I said in my mind, all right, Lord, you're saying that I'm not going to be rich and famous and all the things that I wanted to be. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to be those kinds of things. And if you go in that direction, and he showed me an individual that was very close to me, he said, you're going to be just like that person right there. Now, this is just me and the Lord talking, no one else around. And I'm talking to the Lord like I'm talking to you today. And then I said, all right, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this way, and I'm going to give it everything I got. I was one of those kinds of individuals. I'll give it everything I got. If it doesn't work, I'm going back to what I was doing. Fair enough? Yeah. So I did. I said, I'm going to give everything. There are some things that I don't agree with, Lord. There are just some things that the saints see. See, the reason I'm saying these kinds of things is this is where we are. This is real. This is real life. There are some things that the saints teach that I don't necessarily agree with. That was back then. And so I said, but you know what? I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not going to condemn it. I'm going to ask you to give me understanding on those things. So I wrote them down. I remember writing them down on a piece of paper, small piece of paper, and folding them up, things that I wasn't necessarily agreeing with and things that I didn't see and things that I didn't understand and things that I wasn't really willing to do. And here I am, 18 years old at that time, I guess. Put them in my wallet. And I said, I didn't tell anybody. Again, this is all me. This is all in my mind. And do you know what happened? It wasn't that I'm by nature, to tell you a little bit about myself, by nature, I'm an adventurer. I'm not afraid to venture out and do something that nobody else has done. So if there is a group that's being led astray, I'd be the one leading them. I would. That's just who I am. And so I had to be convinced. I had to be convinced in my own mind that this is the way to go. Not just the way that the Church of God teaches, but this is the way God teaches. So I wasn't all enamored and all sympathetic with the Church of God Evening Light Saints at the time. But I decided, Lord, I want to go to heaven. That's what's important to me. And you have a plan to get me there. And so, Lord, I want to go to heaven. What will it take for me to get there? And all the while, no one knows that I'm thinking this. And I'm not doing it just because the saints are doing it. Because I wasn't that kind of a person. I wasn't rebellious growing up. I was one of those individuals that kind of complied and all this kind of thing. But when you get out on your own, you want to take your shirt off and you want to do whatever you want to do, right? So I determined, Lord, if you show it to me and you give me a clarity and an understanding and a vision, I'll do it. So I began to pray. And I began to get as close to the Lord as I possibly could. I stopped having one foot in and one foot out. That's where I was. Oh, yes, I was one of them folks that come down every camp meeting. You were getting saved again, or you knew you were just on the edge, and you weren't doing quite what you were supposed to be doing, and you weren't quite unsaved, but you weren't quite saved either. You understand? I was one of those kind of people. Then the Lord began to deal with me. And this is why it's important, saints. Every person in here, I am not part of the church of God because this is what I was raised in. Yes. That's not why I'm here, because I would be one of the ones, I'd be gone. If there was something better, I'd be gone to it. But let me tell you, I've looked at it, and I've asked the Lord to give me revelation, give me understanding from the Lord, independent of what the preacher is saying. Now, I say it in my mind, the reason I say it independent, because I knew I was going to be a preacher, so I needed something. If I'm going to stand before the people and I'm going to tell them about the plan of salvation, I needed to know that it was working and there was something about it that I needed to understand. I needed to know it for myself, not for what Brother so-and-so said. So I began to pray, and I began, this is where we get in trouble. We listen to people. There are seducing spirits out there. There are things that grab our emotions and things that pull us in, and we're listening to that more than we're listening to the voice of God. And so what happened is the Lord began to deal with me very plainly and very clearly. And as he opened it up to me, I began to see, okay, I understand. And I understand it from a different standpoint. That's what you need to do. You need a revelation. You need a revelation and an understanding. And let me tell you, what I tried to do to those that I minister to, don't do it just because I said it. I don't want you to do it because I said it. But I want you to do it because the Holy Ghost said it. So you get acquainted with the Holy Ghost, and you know what the Holy Ghost plan is for your life. And when you know what the Holy Ghost plan is for your life, you'll do it. You'll embrace it. And it won't be hard. Well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't think this is necessary. You pray. You seek the Lord. You ask the Lord. And let me tell you, you also do it. Live where you are. Don't try to live. I've been saved for many years now. Don't try to live where I am. You live where you are. But you seek the Lord and you ask the Lord to give you a revelation and an understanding of why this is right. Not just because the brother got up here and he preaches about it and the saints, they all look the same and this is why how we got to dress. Why do I have to dress like this? You find out from the Lord for yourself. And when you find out from the Lord for yourself, it don't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter who comes up and talks to you, who says this and who says that. You know the Lord for yourself. That's the plan. That's God's plan. God's plan for you is to know, to have a personal relationship. When you go back to the Garden of Eden and you look at what the Lord wanted and how the Lord lifted up man and he spoke everything else to existence, but he formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he picked him up and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That tells you the intimate relationship that God wants to have with you and with me. That's his plan. And then when Adam and Eve came down, and they in the cool of the day, the Lord came down. He wanted to be with them. He wanted them to be with him. That's the plan. So the plan is not just that you're with God's people. The plan is that you're with God. The closer you get to God, the closer you, we heard in Sunday school, the closer you get to his people. And now I understand. I understand. Yep, these brothers. You know why I like how why I'm closer to some of you folks than I am my own family? Because we have a relationship with the Lord. It's not because you got such a nice personality or that you're such a friendly person. It is that we feel the connection, that there is a spiritual connection here. And that spiritual connection is stronger than any family and bloodline. We have the blood of Christ. That's the plan. So God wants us as men and women of God to come together, to have a clarity and an understanding. Lord, what's your plan in my life? Where do I fit in the church of God? Well, Lord, I want to be a preacher. Well, you're not a preacher, okay? So stop trying to be a preacher. And you can't sing, so don't get up and try to sing some specials. You can't sing. Be willing to be wherever you are, wherever the Lord wants you to be. You have an ability that far exceeds mine. Well, Brother Darrell, he might can preach. Well, I might can preach. No, I can't preach. I really can't. But the Holy Ghost can. So my job here is to get myself out of the way as much as I can and say, Lord, I'm trembling up here. I don't want to be up here. If this is not where you want me to be, but the Lord knows where he wants you to be. Well, Brother Darrell, I'm not this I don't like being in front of people. Guess what? I don't either. I don't either. My daughter says to me, she said, Dad, you are introvert masquerading as an extrovert. That is true. I don't like being in front of people either, but this is where God has us. So it doesn't matter. The Lord wants you to be in the place. His plan in your life is for you to be in the place that he wants you to be in, wherever that is. Whatever that's doing. Under whatever circumstances that is. Oh, it's some horrible circumstances. I'm going to be talked about. I'm going to be spit upon. All that. Well, all of that's consistent with the Holy Ghost. You're consistent with Christ, isn't it? We're part of the body of Christ. So those things are to happen to us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord give us a desire and determination that we live for the Lord. So the Lord wants us, if we don't do anything else, the takeaway, the Lord wants you to go to his word. And out of this meeting, yes, we come to Monarch and there's 30 services and we get to see our friends and we get to see those that we love and it's wonderful. But what are you going to do with it when you go home? So what's the benefit when you go home and there's not any messages that we're going to go and there's not any people to encourage me? What are you going to do with it then? God has a plan for that. There are some of the things that you learn here that God says, I want you to take those things home with you and I want you to apply them to your life. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But you do it. And one of the things that I think is very important for you is get to know the Lord yourself. Get a revelation of what God has for you. The plan that God has for you. Get a revelation of the church of God. Why am I part of this group of people? Why don't I go now? There's another group that's somewhere else. On Sundays they have more than we have on our big day. But why is that different from this? Because this is the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it with all of my heart. And the reason that I'm standing up and preaching to you is because I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that's the plan of God. The Lord tells us about things that were going to happen and things that are going to happen and all these kinds of things. But what we have to understand is that, Lord, help me to know what your plan is and for me to stand in what you would have me to do. All right. So the Lord wants to be with Adam and Eve. And he wants to be with you and me. All right. I want to read another scripture that we have. It's a familiar scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. No, not Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Not going to hold you much longer. So Jeremiah 1 and 5, yes.
Before I formed thee in the belly.
Before I formed thee in the belly.
I knew thee.
I knew thee.
And before thou camest forth out of the womb.
Before you came out forth out of the womb.
I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee.
Ordained thee.
A prophet.
To be a prophet unto the nations. All right, so God, this is talking about Jeremiah. Before he formed them in the belly, he knew him. Now, why does the Bible have various vignettes or little scenes of people's lives? That's really all the Bible is. When you really look at it, it's talking about Joseph. He was a man with 2 feet, 2 hands, 10 fingers, 10 toes, just like you and me. But his life became a part of the Word of God. Why? Here's Jeremiah. Do you suppose the Lord just did that to Jeremiah, that the Lord knew, if he knew Jeremiah before he was born, do you suppose the Lord knew you before you were born? You suppose that the Lord knew the combination of your mother and your father and the looks, you know, some people, I know I have a brother-in-law that if you saw his mother, you would say he looks exactly like his mother. Exactly. And if you saw his father, you would say he looks exactly like his father. Now, his father and mother don't look alike, but it seemed like he's such a perfect combination of the two that he looks like either one of them. Have you ever seen people like that? Someone of the brothers the other day, and I thought, boy, you look just like your daddy. Well, people say that about me, too. Look just like mine. The Lord knew you before you were born. And he said he ordained you to be whatever it is that you want to be, whatever he wants you to be, before you were born. So the situations and circumstances that you're going through right now, they are for the benefit of you doing something great for the Lord. Now, the world may not look at it as being great, but God does. Because you fit right in a little spot. You're a part of the body. Now, all these cars that are parked out here, if you go there and you take the battery cable off and try to drive it down the road, what's going to happen? But a battery cable is dirty, isn't it? Or take the lug nuts off the car. It's not necessary for the car to the engine to start. The lug nuts are not necessary. And you don't even see them. Most of the cars, you don't see them. Put the hubcaps on, you don't see them. But how important are they? They're important, very important. They're part of the whole plan. Whoever designed the car, part of the plan was these little lug nuts that hold the wheels on. And as a result of them holding the wheels on, they're important. They get dusty, they get dirty, they get oily, all these kinds of problems. But they're more important. They're just as important as the engine, aren't they? And sometimes we want to be seen, and we want to be in circumstances and situations where we're seen, and everybody's saying how pretty we are, and all the Lord wants us to do is to be little lug nuts. But we get dirty. We get greasy. But nobody knows it. But let me tell you, you don't get your pats on the back from all of us. You get it from the Lord. If you're looking for me to say you're doing great and all this, I might forget or I might not think you did very great, but God does. When you do it perfectly and you do it according to his plan, he says, all right, you know what? What do they do? Those little lug nuts, somebody took them to a machine shop. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic by any stretch of the imagination. But they took them and they had a plan and they knew exactly what thread it was going to be and they honed them and they threaded them just for that particular car. Right? They had the plans. They had the dimensions. The Lord has the plans and the dimensions for your life. The Lord has a plan of salvation. God, you were in the plan of God before you were ever born. God knew what he wanted you to do. So what the Lord tells us to do, he said, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect plan, if you'll allow me to use that, of God. What is his will? What is his will for me? Now, as I submit myself, now I'm going to tell you, if I don't submit myself to the Lord, I'm not going to find out what his perfect plan is for my life. I'm not going to do it. Because there's still something that's fighting against me. I've had that kind of an experience. And when I start having that kind of experience, even as the Lord, during the course of my life, as the Lord has wanted me to humble down and more, and I begin to, if I buck against it, I'm going to have a problem, aren't I? But when I humble myself and I submit myself to the Lord, and then I find out, Lord, what is your perfect plan? What's your perfect will? What is your perfect design for my life at this time? Right now, and the Lord will tell me what his perfect plan and his perfect will is. Now, maybe sometimes he won't tell me everything, but he says, it is my will for you to humble right here. I know they're mistreating you. I know that your brethren and those, you know, sometimes the ones that get us the most are the ones that are closest to us. The ones that we have the most problem with are the ones that should love us, just like Joseph was in the situation with his brothers. His brothers should have been the one that loved him, and they were the one that was trying to kill him. Literally. So there are going to be some times that you're going to have individuals in your life that you're saying, you know, I just want to get out of this situation. And the Lord is going to say, I'm not ready for you to get out of this situation. You don't see the end. You don't see what's going to happen in the end. In the end, I've got something for you. I've got something better for you. But it's not just for you. See, we tend to be too selfish with that. It's not just for you. It's for those that are around you. It's not just for your family. It's for those families that are around you. It's not just what's happening in your life. Joseph's situation was not just what was happening in Joseph's life. If Joseph had concentrated on just what was happening in his life, he never would have gone through it. But if he kept the faith and had the understanding, Lord, you have a purpose, you have a will, you have an understanding of what's going on in my life, I can just see the next step. Just like the little GPS, it says, in the next quarter mile, turn right. And so what the Lord tells us sometimes, God's positioning system, what God tells us sometimes is, I'm not going to tell you everything that's happening. Well, Lord, why am I having to go through this? The Lord's not going to tell us everything. But what we can say is that the Lord will tell us that I'm in control of this. And as you submit yourself to me, I'm going to tell you what my perfect plan is for you. I'm going to tell you step by step, moment by moment. You'll know if you're in the center of my will or not. And what I've learned over the years in my own experience is the best place to be is in the center of God's will. You have the option. You know, we talk about intelligent design. You have the option of letting your life be intelligently designed. Or you have the option of going with the theory that can't be proven. And the whole point is, how do you know that your life is going to turn out all right? Well, my neighbor, they don't know the Lord. Well, they don't have the understanding that you have. The Lord is merciful to some people. Well, I don't have to be saved but why is my life falling apart? Why is my life falling apart? I'm not doing anything. No, you're not living for the Lord. And so you have the same kind of thought process that Darwin, you have a Darwinist theory about your life. This big bang is going to happen. You're going to leave the Lord, and then all these things are going to fall into place, and your life is going to be perfect. It's not going to happen like that. It never does. You know it doesn't. So I want to say to you, if you don't know the Lord today, the Lord has a plan for you. The Lord has a perfect plan in your life. If you are needing to be closer to the Lord, you need a revelation from the Lord. The Lord can give you a revelation of what His will is in your life. He can give you a revelation of an understanding of the church, an understanding of the doctrine, what's really right. Not just doing it because somebody tells you to do it, but you're doing it because you know it's right. You're doing it because you know that this is what God's will is for your life. What I want to leave us with is, what's God's plan for you? What is His perfect will in your life? I want to find that out for me, and I want to follow in it. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.